Coming to you live and direct from the phantom shores of the Hudson River, my name is Ra, and I am here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me, and we go further down the mystical spiral of life. This is Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. Welcome, everybody. This is a beautiful night out. It's crisp and cold out, but we have an hour of paranormal talk lined up for you here on the Para-X Radio Network and here at the Mystical Spiral Radio. We're here every Friday night from 8 to 9, and you can find us at themysticalspiral.com. And you can also find me on YouTube at Exploring the Ka with host Ra Castaldo. And a lot of things I've been talking about lately are starting, the dots are starting to connect and different things are starting to come to fruition. And it's like the last few shows that I've been talking about certain things on, not only on Spiral Radio, but also my other show, The Eye of Ra, which is on the TFRlive.com on Saturday nights. I've been talking about certain topics that include ancient magic, dragon energy, dragon power, ley lines, how these places of power have been corrupted, and how dowsers have been tracking black streams or black radiations of energy running along our planet, corrupting some of the good power points and places of natural spiritual power on our planet. And I think this is all linked. This black stone from Aldebaran, this vision that I had years ago, and it being related to programmable matter and this self-replicating energy that I've been talking about. And I feel this is all related, that somehow asteroids and rocks are not just asteroids and rock. They are actually some kind of summoned technology, some kind of time capsule, some kind of sort of like an egg or a capsule that not only brings bacteria, but it brings technology and organisms and different life forms to planets to help terraform worlds. And it somehow is alchemized or liquefied, and that's when it's in its most dangerous state, when it's opened up and it can infiltrate and interweave with genetic material and with technology. And I feel that this power has corrupted our ley lines and has caused massive amounts of paranormal activity all over our planet. And when you corrupt the ley lines, and when you corrupt the streams of energy flowing like veins beneath us, then you also corrupt the inhabitants of that area and any life form around or that frequents that area. And I feel that it's also tapped in to our firmament or our holographic library that lies over us and surrounds our earth. And I feel that we're surrounded by some sort of, if you want to call it a firmament or whatever you want to call it, there's something around our planet that contains a holographic recording and instrument, sort of like everything that's ever been thought, said, spoken of, done, experienced is recorded inside of this material or whatever you want to call it. A holographic library, a holographic encyclopedia, an Akashic record, whatever it is, but somehow it can tap into that and replicate any energy, anything that it finds in that library, that it can somehow replicate it, and it can get pulled into matter on our physical plane somehow through blood rituals, through incantations. And this is where technology or magic, I feel, stems from. And that these entities that they call the Fallen Angels, and this is Fallen Angel Friday, these entities, whether you want to call them Draco, Fallen Angels, whatever you want to lay them, you know, AI, whatever it is, they are an outside force, high energetic force that came to this planet. And I feel that they either brought this massive rock, this black stone with them, or they summoned it, or somehow they're involved with it. Because when, and I've said it before, but this leads up to what I'm going to speak of now. When I asked my higher self, and I tried to tap into what this is, I was shown that whole vision that you can look at in my other work. That I saw the head of a bull with the one red eye, which is Aldebaran, the Taurus, the bull of Taurus, and the black stone coming. So, and then this being that I think is Baal. And, you know, look at my prior, last week's episode is a good prelude to this week's. And I know next week we're going to have a guest Frank Castle on, so that's going to be a great show as well. So basically, not only has this, I feel, this black stone corrupted our ley lines, and it's some sort of technology, I also feel that one has also entered our atmosphere recently. And over the next hour, I will describe why I feel it's connected to the giants and what's lying beneath our planet, imprisoned in a holographic prison, in a astral prison, and that this stone is helping activate and pull them into our dimension or into our physical plane, along with the blood rituals and blood sacrifice and incantations that we've all been witnessing on our planet, you know, and how it's been at an excessive rate since the last solar eclipse. And I don't know if anybody has been following the news or anything lately, but back in sometime in October, mid-October, maybe like around the 19th or the 20th, there was an announcement about, they called it the first interstellar asteroid to ever enter our atmosphere. And there was a huge excitement in the scientific world, right? So now they have called this, and I know I'm probably going to butcher this, Oumuamua. It's spelled Oumuamua, which sounds very African. I'm not sure of the origins of that word, but and I got to credit my buddy Masaki, who's a well known on Spiral Radio, for giving me this information. Is he put that word Oumuamua into a gematrinator. It's a website where you can do gematria, and the gematria equivalent of that name came out to a few things, one of them being John Dee, another of them being the gray goo, another one of them being the bubonic plague. I mean, this is not coincidence. There is either this name was chosen because it is an equivalent of that, those things that line up directly to what I'm talking about, and or, you know, it's almost like they're putting it out there for certain people. If they could, here, if you could find the answer, here's a little clue, and this is why we're naming it this or that, because there's no way in hell that the gematria equivalent to that name would line up to things like that. And, you know, John Dee was known to have a magical black stone. And, you know, the bubonic plague, of course, it was called, you know, the black spot on our history of, you know, where these cloaked figures were even seen on the outskirts of the town. With a black mass of smoke coming from them. And then all of a sudden people were getting the bubonic plague. I know it was attributed to possibly an outbreak of fleas and rats and things like that, but who knows what the true possibilities are of this. But, you know, just negative programming alone has created a havoc upon our planet. There's been an unhappiness, a plague of unhappiness on our world that is developing, leaving people very if you want to put that, there a lot of people are left in solitude, a lot of people are less people are getting married, less people are having kids, less people are conversing and making friends, and people are just getting put in their little sheltered boxes and getting bombarded with technology that is invading and interweaving with our consciousness and our DNA. And the type of programming that is happening on our planet is afflicted on us through fear and for a desire to control. And that is very machine-like. You know, these asteroids are made out of rock and metal, okay? And most ancient lore of dragons go back through many years having to deal with magic and having to do with these dragons being of metal and matter. And I feel a lot of what ancients were calling dragons were actually these giant rocks. And these giant rocks that are not just rocks, they are actually living, breathing entities. And a story I'm about to share in a couple minutes will show you how certain things can be in a state of non-existence, and through thought and through manifestation, through belief and thought, it turns non-existence into existence. And if you go through a lot of creation myths, including the ancient Egyptians, it talks about a limitless, black, lifeless ocean of non-existence. And through thought and belief and calling it a god, it turned into existence. And what if this black, limitless life ocean is this primordial matter, this black ooze that's infected our ley lines? And what if it is connected to magic on our planet and what we call this holographic universe? And what if it has affected that? And what if souls are being kept in some sort of matrix because of this technology and what it's evolved into? Okay, so let's ask ourselves, okay, where does certain words come from? Okay, the word in Draco, or the word dracone, basically means a flash, or to watch, or to look at. It's a dracone, D-R-A-K-O-N, right? That is a Greek word, or a Latin Draco, that actually means to see, or to look at, or possibly to flash, to show something, all right? So most legends, dragons appear to be watching, or time-watching, or watching over a territory or a treasure, or somehow involved in some sort of alchemy or astrology or magic. Now, if we take astrology, the constellation of Draco basically is in the northern part of the sky, and it curves windingly between the dippers. So the dragon's head is a trapezium of four stars. The star Draconis is the double star. And at one time, it's said that this may have once been even the pole star to which the pyramid of Cheops was aligned. And just like before, I mean, it, even the Egyptian pyramids were one time aligned with certain stars. Now, in alchemy, a dragon is considered to be made from matter, metal, and genetic material, physical body, genetic material. And I feel that this, that's what this stone is made of. And when they said this stone or this asteroid or Oumuamua, whatever you want to call it, I don't know how they got that name. Basically, it was first seen at the University of Hawaii through a telescope, and the object was first known as C/2017U1, and it was initially believed to be a comet. And however, after certain observations, it revealed that it was actually an asteroid, and it was named to this Oumuamua. And then follow-up observations made through an even larger telescope, they were able to see the asteroid's size. It was long, cigar-shaped, basically about some 400 meters, which is about 1,300 feet, very elongated, and it spins on its axis every 7.3 hours. And it was determined to be rocky and metal rich and to contain traces of organic molecules that have been irradiated by UV radiation. And the asteroid also has an extremely eccentric orbit. Basically, it's like taking it out of our solar system currently. And it originally came from the general direction of Vega and the brightest star in the northern constellation of Lyra. And they're actually starting something called the Lyra or the Lyra Project to chase down this interstellar monster. And they saw it as bright red hot, and I just think that's because it's heated metal going through space, and that's why it's bright red, because it's glowing like a piece of coal in the fire. The thing is that if something was to be a spaceship, right, an interstellar object, then it would have to be cigar-shaped. You know, it would have to look almost like a pen or a pencil or something really long and thin because of the dust in space and how it would slam into the, you know, the spacecraft. And it was – so the most logical way to keep something is it's as thin and flat as possible and not bulky because of the dust particles in space. And, you know – I feel that this was somehow summoned and it's somehow connected to the giants. And I've been having visions and experiences where I believe within my whole being that something is being released from within the earth and from within another dimension, and something is being pulled into our dimension and activated through rituals and through incantations, and it's affecting our whole world. And it's interesting because there's a lot of lore within my shamanic tradition concerning magic, concerning what we call the Grigori, and concerning death and rebirth. And we have something in ancient beliefs that's called the law of return. And the law of return basically governs the life experience and conditions that we have in each new life. But beyond all of this is the realm of Tartarus or Tartaru, which is the abyss. which is the Black Abyss. And here in Tartarus is where the souls that are inclined towards evil get imprisoned, and they are kept in restriction until the Great Ones decree their fate. And in Greek mythology, Tartarus was the prison for the Titans. It was the black void, the black abyss in which the Titans were imprisoned. And I feel all of these loud booms and reports of loud crazy noises that it feels like it's coming from the sky and within the earth, and no one knows where it's coming from, and it's been reported going back maybe even 10 years or more up until today, up until last night. Look it up. Just put in loud boom on Google, and you'll find all over the planet mysterious booms are being heard. Something is awakening. Something is being released. And I feel what lies beneath us, not only in physical form, but it's some sort of astral substance, some sort of astral holographic universe that is within our Earth and surrounding our Earth. And somehow, through these magical or technology or incantation, whatever you want to label stuff is fine with me, whether you want to call it rituals or technology, whatever, it's being practiced. It's in front of our eyes through symbolism and sacred geometries and different symbols you see everywhere. It's being spoon-fed to us through the elites of the world who are involved with all of this and the corporations that are running this planet and keeping this matrix of evil running. And, you know, those of us that catch little glimpses of what the real truth is, when we try to talk about it, it does sound like insanity. It sounds like, you know, what are these people talking about? They're talking about Bigfoot, or they're talking about this, or they're talking about that. You know, it's hard to really get a grip. And I'm not saying I have the answers to anything. You know, I'm just saying that I'm catching little glimpses, and I'm trying to connect some of the dots, and I'm trying to discuss it with you all, so we can try to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And I feel that all of this is linked to what's going on. And, you know, when a soul cannot be destroyed, it has to go somewhere, right? So after death, The soul, I feel, is still connected to our body for 3 days. And for a period of 7 days, that soul is basically earthbound. And the soul has to pass through another realm, right? Through even our firmament, maybe. And it's said that after it goes into the underworld, or to the within the inner earth, where I feel there are time gates, where the soul is then escorted to the lunar realm. It is said that the old ones escort the dead to the moon worlds. Okay, so let's try to analyze this for a second. What is these moon worlds? Are they holographic universes, different stages of our existence, of our soul? You know, for the Strega, they would desire to enter the world of Luna and be prepared for rebirth. And they would believe in ancient Etruscan lore that the soul enters a cycle of 7 lives through which it strives to try to complete. And each cycle is followed by another until the soul is complete and physical life is no longer necessary. Now, the memory of our past is usually hidden from our present consciousness, so that each life would be unique from the next, right? So, memory can be recalled if desired, if you can tap in through the holographic universe, if you can even use mirrors, sort of a mirror work, to see into your past life. See, the soul is the true higher self. Each physical body we have is only a different skin suit that's worn by our soul. So it's not important whether we're men or women or who we are. What is important is the law of return, the life experience that you awaken, and the condition in your present life. And not to be imprisoned or escorted to the realm of Tartaru or Tartarus, which is the limitless abyss. Now, a lot of people have used mirrors or different devices to do past life recall. Now, if someone is trying to past life recall or gain knowledge or tap into the holograph universe in a place of spiritual power that may have been corrupted by these black radiations or black energies, then it will reflect on your experience, and entities can arise and can literally step right out of that mirror and into your shadow. And when I get back from break, we're going to talk about how these black streams of energy may have affected the magic on our planet, may be involved in draconian magic and the summon of dragons or these asteroids or rocks or these rocks of power. And also, we're going to be talking about shamanic practices and how it's all related to what's happening on our planet now and how ancient beings are being awakened, and we are going to see some stuff, you know, in our lifetime, within our kids' lifetimes. We will witness probably something that our ancestors never thought we would see. And it's going to be a change of humanity, and it's upon us now. I mean, if you want to think the apocalypse is a one-day event or something like that, it's not. We have been living in the apocalypse for thousands of years, and I feel the final battle is upon us, and we all need to get together to uncover and unlock the truth that's hidden beneath us. And this, you know, the symbolism on our planet that's right before us is just out of hand. You know, it's amazing how people can walk through their daily lives and just shut off from what's around them and not witness, you know, what's actually happening on this planet. I wish this show was 2 hours long too, because I have a lot of information to share with you, and the half hour is already done. So this song coming up, I actually wrote about 10 years or more ago, but it's an oldie but goodie, and it's called Dancing the Goddess Home, and it's by my old band Nocturnal Awareness. And we'll be back after this on the Para-X Radio Network, and you are listening to Spiral Radio. We'll be back after this. Spiral out. anyway.
Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we are back, and this is the Mystical Spiral Radio, and we are here on the Para-X Radio Network every Friday night, 8 to 9, and stick around because there's more shows to come up after this, and, you know, in shamanic beliefs, there is a myth that a great tree once stood or stands at the central point of the shamanic cosmos or the holographic universe. And this is the astral world, the astral universe. And the world tree was not only the central pivot around which this world revolved in its cycle of days and nights and seasons, and you know, it was a highway, an interdimensional highway. And a shaman can climb up this world tree to visit the land of the gods and communicate with them. Or he could climb down to the roots. The roots, the deep roots of this tree, where the well of souls and the ancient ancestors lived. And in this well of souls, the roots, is where the Tartarus will lie. And the Tartarus is not only a place where souls dwell, but it is a place of ancient wisdom, and it has some sort of prison. And I feel this is just a beautiful way of describing some sort of holographic or astral imprisoned world. And, you know, it's said that, you know, through trance-like state, our souls can leave our body, and we can travel in an altered state of consciousness down to these roots of this tree, down to Tartarus. And if this whole world maybe was created as sort of a storage facility for not only information, but for out-of-control energies, out-of-control beings that were pulled into the physical plane and could no longer, this atmosphere could no longer sustain them because of their out of control energy, their dragon, their chaotic energy. And you know, life is said to have formed from chaos. I mean, if we go back to Madame Blavatsky, and she states in a lot of her books that a dragon is basically a very old sign for astral light or for primordial principles, and that there's always some sort of wisdom in chaos, even if us humans can't see it. And, you know, the dragon stands for some sort of regeneration and immortality. And I mean, we could go back as far in time as you want. I know in Mexico they called him Quetzalcoatl, and he was referred to as a race of a sort of dragon or a plume, the serpent, and they were worshipped as having knowledge and bringing knowledge. And you would think that our ancestors, you know, would have to give them a little bit more credit, that they would be able to distinguish something from an actual living being to a rock, right? Well, you could take the cult of Mithras. This cult in ancient Roman area said to the god Mithras came forth from a rock, a giant rock. And that he pierced this rock with his arrows, and a liquid came forth. And it was a liquid of knowledge. And, you know, this limitless ocean is talked about all over mythology. And what is this black, limitless non-existence that can turn into existence. What is this? Okay? In Egyptian mythology, they talk about how there was only chaos, and this chaos was dark and silent throughout space, right? And it was known as like the bottomless abyss, containing like a limitless ocean of black, lifeless water. But it was a living being. And they called this nothingness Nu, and worshipped him as a god. And when someone chooses to call something in a state of non-existence, then there comes a time when this non-existence will take a dramatic event and transform from non-existence into existence. And when this happened, this was the creation of Amun. Amun, the great first one, the king of all gods to the ancient Egyptians. He was the maker of all things, and no other god was before him. And no other god was needed to make him. He just existed. And because he has no father and no mother, he somehow created himself in some sort of secret, invisible way. And, you know, most humans or humans probably will never know or even discover or understand. He mysteriously just sprang into being. And Amun basically came from a stillness of the cosmos, and it was then shattered with a magnificent, piercing, loud voice. And this mighty blast set into motion all the rest of creation. And in some of Egypt, they actually believe in the early stage of his formations, he took the form of many things, one being a gigantic goose or a great honker, they called it. But the other forms is the ones I'm more interested in. The first of the forms that this Amun took was that of the Ogdo, the group of eight basically reptilian-looking gods. And they can also be called the Anunnaki, the Watchers, the Fallen Angel, some sort of AI, soulless machine. I know the Gnostics called maybe Amun could be called Yaldabaoth if you look at the Gnostic material. And see, the Gnostic material states that there was something before chaos, Sophia. And maybe they took it a step further than the Egyptians. But these Ogdoad Eight were basically said to have the head of frogs and serpents, and they swam through the dark waters of chaos. Now, these dark waters of chaos is what I feel is this black primordial ooze that came from some sort of asteroid. And it was basically summoned here, I feel. And in alchemical form, it hardens to this rock, and it can be sent to other planets, other dimensions, other realms. And what I think is space is not what we think as space. It is other dimensions and other realms. It's not actually what we think it is. I think we've been lied to in a way, and space is more like different dimensions, and each planet is its own god and you know, a living, breathing entity, and that these capsules, these little time capsules, are sent out to terraform and take over worlds, and entities arise and get the DNA that's carried through these rocks and the bacteria and everything. It begins to form species when it hits a planet, and it brings a new life. It'll cancel the life that's on that planet and restart a whole different ecosystem and population. And that's what I feel these rocks are. And that's what I feel just entered our atmosphere. And it's bringing or taking away something. And, you know, I feel long ago one of these rocks hit. And it could have taken out the dinosaurs, it could not have, but I feel that's what first corrupted our ley lines. And after this act of creation with Amun, he rose into the sky and assumed the shape and features of the life-giving sun, okay? And then he was called Amun Ra. As he looked down from above, a new phase of his creation began. And he chose this ram-headed, bull-headed god, whom I think he was called Kanos or Kanum. And he was, you know, said to, like, control the destiny of this human race. And he, with Amun's blessing, proceeded, and he made the first humans on his divine potter's wheel. And he began to fashion the bones from, like, special clay, and then molded the skin and veins carrying blood and all of this. And basically a soul was downloaded into the body. It breathed life into his creations, or what Vedas call the prana, you know. And somehow through this, he passed some of his life force animating them. And these are the new creatures upon our planet that rolled back the dark waters surrounding the prime evil mound, thus exposing more dry land. So these dark waters is what lies beneath us, you know, and they separated these dark waters, this primordial ocean, to give us dry land and something to live on. And I feel this is all connected to being terraformed through these capsules, through these rocks. And, you know, I've been saying it all along, and I feel we were completely terraformed. And I feel that's where certain people that say they have doppelgangers and they see almost like some kind of ghostly holographic copy of themselves. I know Abe Lincoln was said to have seen one of these doppelgangers of himself in a mirror at one time. And I feel that these streams of black energy that are on our planet are not only releasing the Titans from Tartarus and this black stone and this new asteroid that enters our atmosphere that I talked about in the first half of the show. This is related to somehow, I feel, this is related to releasing some of these or giants that have been imprisoned in an astral holographic dimension. You could call it Tartarus. You could call it the Well of Souls. You could call it whatever you want. But I feel it's somehow related to them and activating or taking something away or bringing something to this world or this solar system. And, you know, they have the Project Lyra now tracking this thing down. And, you know, it's involved with the Draco. Like I said, dragons, ancient dragons are made of metal and genetic material and rock. And that's what I feel these are. These are what the ancients called dragons. That's what entered our atmosphere. And, you know, basically, if someone looks into ancient lore, you can see in Egyptian mythology an ancient picture of Set staking a series of rods into Apophis, the dragon coming from the earth. Now, I think when this black radiation, this black energy corrupts our ley lines, certain people with spiritual power can tap into it, and beings can manifest through our thought and get pulled in through ritual and thought and incantations and manifest from non-existence into existence. And this being Apophis is some sort of serpent energy that can rise from our ley lines and get pulled into our physical dimension. And if you look at Egyptian paintings, you will see Set with a rod, a series of rods, driving it into Apophis or Apep, who is the lord of the underworld and a serpent of the underworld and the dead or winter season. And he basically is staking the node, you know, like they would in dowsing. I mean, that's what I feel that Set is doing in that ancient painting. He is actually trying to correct an out-of-control energy within our Earth. And these black streams of energy are the veins of our planet, and it's corrupting. You know, I mentioned, you know, in the chat room, Masaki's talking, I mentioned in the first half of the show how the gematria, and I gave you credit for showing me that, you know, the names of this asteroid, you know, and what they've been coming up and how it's from John D to the bubonic plague, you know, and, you know, if somebody too, if somebody is interested and wants to say, where am I getting, you know, this information of this black streams of energy, you know, or what's happening here? You know, is he just making this up? I'm not. This is actually, you know, a fact. And European dowsers, for some reason, Great Britain is very well mapped with their ley lines. We don't really have that too well here. So if you look, you know, there are black streams of energy all over our planet, and they produce an imbalance in our Earth. And if you go to a certain energy that's natural spiritual power, you could feel it. You will feel a static electrical flow down your spine. You will feel the sacredness of the area, the tingliness in your body, and you will know it's a power spot. And, you know, phenomena appear at these spaces. And if you want to find energy streams, you have to douse for them. These lines are not necessarily straight lines, or will you, you know, find them here without dowsing. You know, they're not mapped like in the British Isles. You need like a pendulum or dowsing rods. If you have no money, you could go take two hangers and you could make dowsing rods. And I'm going to actually teach it on my Patreon, but it can be made from, you know, two coat hangers. You just need some wire cutters, cut off the hooks and then straighten them out. And basically you can find this dragon energy, this dragon lines on our planet, and you can find places where this energy is out of control. And if someone is having a spiritual experience, or is trying to pass life recall, or is trying to tap into their past lives on a place of spiritual power along one of these ley lines, and if one of these ley lines has been corrupted with these black radiations, then some sort of black manifestation can literally walk right through the mirror and attach itself to your shadow self, attach itself to your soul. And if someone is performing a ritual or praying or doing something on a place, and it happens to be on this ley line of black radiation, things can manifest, phenomena can manifest. And I feel that when Abraham Lincoln was looking into the mirror, he was having some kind of spiritual moment with himself, looking at his reflection, and it somehow activated this black energy to come from the Earth within the holographic astral universe that's around our Earth and within our Earth that contains this black liquid and contains dragons, because they are astral creatures, like Blavatsky calls them, astral light. They're beings of astral light, astral substance that gets pulled into our dimension through thought and prayer and rituals and offerings. That somehow Abe Lincoln was looking into the mirror and, like I said, had some sort of, you know, spiritual moment, and somehow this energy, this primordial ooze, replicated his reflection, replicated his spiritual experience, replicated some of the darkness that he had within him, and it clung to him as sort of a doppelganger twin. And he, for a short second, saw it in the mirror, saw it in his reflection, experienced it right next to him. And I feel that this is where this out-of-control energy comes from. It actually is stemming from our ley lines and our power grid and the magic that is our planet and who we are. And that it most likely was affected through some sort of terraforming, through some sort of huge, giant rock or asteroid. I mean, this thing is cigar-shaped, and, you know, to fly through space between all the dust that comes and everything else, you would have to be really thin and cigar-shaped and pencil-like to have some sort of travel through interstellar ways. I mean, it's the shape of it and everything tells me that it's much more than just a rock. And, you know, I know it's a lot to take in. But, I mean, if you take that story that I talked about with the limitless black ocean from the Egyptians and different things that I brought up through Tartarus and all these different things that are lining up and dots are connecting, I mean, the answers are right before us, are deep within us. And we have to uncover, we have to find the truth, you know, and there's ways to break through this. And, you know, there's, if you want to call it an artificial intelligence, that's fine. But there is an evil that is interweaving. And I'm not trying to put fear out there or be a downer. But a lot of this paranormal activity, I feel, is because of this change that's happening on our planet. And there are different planetary spheres, one that we call Maldek, and there's entities that are working their understanding through different karmic ways and different karmic debts. And there's entities that dwell deeper in our subconscious and our interdimensional world that we can't, through underground passageways and underground time gates or whatever you want to call them, but they're dwelling in a density that most of us can't see or experience. And I don't know if you would say that there is no second density consciousnesses on our planet, or, you know, it's our density has shifted, you know. But when you take certain creatures like Bigfoot, and people think, oh, they can't be real, this can't be real, that can't be real, they actually, I feel, are existing on other timelines and other density dimensions, and that they are pulled into our dimension through certain ways. And I feel that that's where it's coming from, and they're going to be seen on these places of natural spiritual power along our ley lines. And, you know, like I said, I don't have all the answers, but if you look in our history, or if you look deep into who you are and really let yourself go and start to break and shatter the restrictions that hold down your consciousness, you will start to see the reality of things. And you will start to see that this physical plane is only a small part of our existence, and that what surrounds us and what surrounds our world is a holographic library and universe that we can all tap into. It's that what you come back with and the changes that it may bring once you have contact with it, most people aren't ready for. And if you start to dabble in these practices and you open a door, it's never closed. You know, it's never closed. And it's a constant battle between the light and the dark. And, you know, we're going to have to see you next week. Next week I have a guest. His name is Frank Castle. And it'll be a great show. Who knows what will come up on that show. But thank you for joining me this week. I want to thank Power X Radio Network, my producer Sarge, like always. Everybody out there in the chat room, it's been a great show. Thanks for joining. And we'll be back next week. And you can find me tomorrow night even on the Eye of Ra. My guest is Patty Greer. And also look for Patreon. You know, I'm developing a Patreon and exploring the Ka on YouTube. And we'll be back next week. Thanks again. And spiral out. Inside your